Loading program.
It's time for Loot Update, bitches!
It is indeed time for your nerd update. Sorry, we called you bitches, but we didn't say it. Stoddard Blackall called you bitches.
Yeah,
Stoddard Blackall did it. You could blame him by going to his website. Actually, no, Stoddard Blackall's a great guy. Did all the music for the show. Any of the audio that's like production music, it's originally composed for this show by Stoddard Blackall. Go to his website, stoddardblackall.com. Follow his tweets at Stoddy Blackall. Check out his own podcast called The Stoddcast. We're going to have him on the show soon, probably in the studio, because we're going to do like musical improv when he comes on. So he's going to bring the keytar.
Sweet.
He's going to bring the keytar back.
Keytar.
Yeah, he's going to rock out the keytar, and we're going to just do musical podcast again like we used to do. It'd be cool if we can get Adriana Santiago to get out here too, but she's been busy elsewhere doing like these hippie retreat things. Adriana Santiago is fantastic. Go check her out as well. Adriana Santiago. That's her website, AdrianaSantiago.com. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc., like that Facebook page, and of course, download and subscribe for free on iTunes, as well as Podomatic. Just type in Team Awesome Inc. on iTunes, and for the website, yotina.podomatic.com. Say it once, say it again, yotina.podomatic.kizzy.com, which means .com. Also, our YouTube channel, Simmer Mike, all caps, no space, like we're yelling, Simmer Mike! Second, Simmer Mike. That's also free. Go download, like, subscribe, play, have fun, enjoy your life, share with your friends, tell your mother about it. It's all free. Yeah, Simmer Mike. YouTube stuff, trailer reactions. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun.
Oh yeah, yeah. It
the
is
more
fun.
You say it,
oh yes,
the more fun it is.
That's right.
Fun.
That's
say
that's
that.
Right.
Say it the is, word.
It's
say the it's, word fun.
It's, if. It's fun. It's fun.
Aha! You said it twice.
Yes.
And you said it twice and a half.
Yes.
Speaking of twice and a half, it has nothing to do with Segways, but Segways are not only vehicles that people ride to look like fools, but but they're also ways of transitioning from one subject to another in a conversation or a live broadcast that's semi-live in Queens. I bought enough time on that one, right? Okay, yep. Here we go. First story of the nerd update. Although the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise is at its best when the focus isn't entirely on Johnny Depp's Captain Jack Sparrow, which I think we both agree he's better used as a spice. Like, you don't want too much. It overdoes the flavor. It'd be foolish to deny that the majority of audiences aren't turning up for Depp's portrayal of the drunken pirate. That said, Johnny Depp isn't quite the box office draw that he once was, and with the future of the franchise looking unclear at the moment, it's not inconceivable that it could spin off in a new Sparrowless direction. However, that's a future that Jerry Bruckheimer can't see happening. The Pirates of the Caribbean producer recently spoke with Digital Spy to say that he can't imagine making a Pirates flick without Johnny Depp. I just don't see it. The secret to any successful franchise is picking talented people, and Johnny is absolutely key to the success of Pirates. He's such a unique character, such an endearing character, and such an irreverent character all in one. After 5 installments, okay, we have an official number, 5. Okay. We thought it was 6 for a while. It's 5. After 5 installments of Johnny Depp's pirate shtick, I certainly wouldn't be opposed to a Pirates of the Caribbean film with a little less Jack Sparrow, or even gasp, no Jack Sparrow at all. There are plenty of other characters in the franchise who could be explored further, such as Hector Barbosa, Jeffrey Rush. Love Captain Barbosa. Love Jeffrey Rush. But I suppose it would be a tough sell. What do you folks think? Can Pirates of the Caribbean franchise survive without Johnny Depp? What do you think? Leave in the comments below if you think if a Johnny Depp-less Pirates of the Caribbean would work. Leave in the comments below. Armando, do you think it would work?
I think it can.
Yeah?
I think it can.
I think it could, too. I think Will Turner, Orlando Bloom...
Mm-hmm.
Dude, just jump back to him. What's going on with him? Like, I know in this new one, he's got shit on his face. And I think it's because his dad, Bootstrap Bill, had the thing with Davy Jones, and like, he was a part of Davy Jones's crew. But then, like, Orlando Bloom had to go and take over, like, for his dad, like, because the curse was passed on to him or something. I don't know. Like, maybe you can focus on that guy.
Yeah.
Focus on Orlando Bloom, because he's famous. And he could be a weird demon pirate. A
big shot.
You could
guy.
Do a. It's a whole franchise. They got five movies. They yeah. have five movies. They have more movies than the Godfather franchise. They have more movies than. Let's see. Wait a minute. I was gonna say Jurassic Park, but I think Jurassic Park is about neck and neck with Pirates of the Caribbean. One, two, three. The Lost World, Jurassic World. Wait, or is it just four? Ah, they beat them. Yeah. I think. We don't know. We'll get back to you about that.
I think
that.
It's like four. Might be three.
I think that, look, Johnny Depp did a cool thing.
Oh, no, four movies.
It's probably four, yeah. You're
yeah,
right.
It's four.
It's probably four for Jurassic Park, but we'll get back to you about that. Leave in the comments below. Let us know. We're lazy. and also, it's hard to Google things.
But there's gonna be five, I think.
And I don't mean it's hard to Google things. I mean, it's hard to... While we're doing the broadcast, it's hard for us to turn the Wi-Fi on because once we do, it might fuck up the audio. So that's a big reason why we don't do the research. And yeah. we say, look it up and tell us.
We record these off-grid.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, don't tell them that we're just lazy. Anyway, so I guess I'm down for that. I mean, it's an interesting world. And what Johnny Depp did was he introduced us to this world. He helped us. Because essentially, we were following Will Turner and Keira Knightley, and they loved each other. And Johnny Depp showed up out of nowhere and fucking fucked up their lives and fucked everything up and was drunkenly running around and pissing everybody off. And like, that's cool and all, but like that, he introduced us to that world. Now we can go off into other pirates, into other whimsical characters so in that world.
He was
kind of
like the Urkel.
Yeah, he's like the Urkel, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Like the Fonzie. I don't know. Like fucking, you could have that franchise just, in, you know, a while ago. This was like, I think, about a year or two ago. They were talking about having Russell Brand play Captain Jack Sparrow's brother. Comedian, English comedian and political activist Russell Brand. They were going to have him. I read one of his books, his Bookie Wook. It was fantastic. He's a brilliant writer. Very eloquently spoken for someone who, you know, never went to like Cambridge or Oxford or anything like that. And he's also a political editor, and he never graduated like any college or anything in a university. He's a political editor for a paper. So Russell Brand, sorry, I'm gushing about him. There was rumors of him playing Johnny Depp's brother in a Pirates movie. Now, that would be cool. Talk about like, hey, passing the baton off to another guy. Just keep like, hey, it's Jack Sparrow's brother. Not Jack Sparrow. I don't know. What'd you call him? Johnny Cardinal. Jimmy Cardinal. Why not? Jimmy Ravenclaw. Hello. Hello. I'm your brother, I am. I'm Russell Brand. I mean, like, it doesn't have to be Russell Brand, but you can do something like that, right? You could do it like maybe it's his kid. I mean,
well, I think fucking, that's a hilarious idea.
Yeah, why not? I think that idea of Russell Brand would work for that franchise. He's perfect for that franchise. Mm. Just have him jump in. He'll be the next wacky pirate we follow for like three movies or however long until people get bored. And then we'll get some other motherfucker to come in and do it. And then they can just keep it going. I think it's fine. I'm liking the Pirates movies. They're fun, man. They're fun movies. I enjoy watching them. I mean, yeah, a lot of it's due to Johnny Depp and his whimsical performance, but, you know, you can keep it going without him, possibly. Mm. Star Wars kept going without some people.
Yep, yep. Now I'm sad.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad. I'm like, I don't want Johnny Depp to go. I'm like, no, stay forever. Just stay forever, Johnny Depp. Never stop being Jack Sparrow. But he's five movies, dude. Fucking Hugh Jackman was Logan Wolverine for like 15 years. How long are we going to make this guy play Captain Jack Sparrow for? Let him do other shit. No, you have to be Jack Sparrow. Please, sir, let me be someone else. No, fuck you, Johnny Depp.
Just let me die.
Just let me die. No, you have to be Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. forever. But he wants to be Iron Man. There's a difference. And actually, Johnny Depp wants to keep doing Jack Sparrow. He says he could keep doing these movies till the day he dies. And I'm like, you know what? Why not? Mm. Fuck it. Let it happen. Anyway, so the official synopsis for Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales is, in case you've been curious and it's still a little confusing to you out there what the fuck is going on in this movie, here's the official synopsis. The rip-roaring adventure finds down on his luck Captain Jack feeling the winds of ill fortune blowing strongly his way when deadly ghost sailors, led by the terrifying Captain Salazar, Javier Bardem, escape from the Devil's Triangle bent on killing every pirate at sea, notably Jack. Jack's only hope of survival lies in the legendary Trident of Poseidon, but to find it, he must forge an uneasy alliance with Karina Smythe. Sorry. A brilliant and beautiful astronomer. What? A brilliant and beautiful astronomer.
Yeah, they have those.
I know they had
back
those back then, but what the fuck is an astronomer? Anyway, and I know nautical, they go by the stars, nautical shit. Anyway, right. And Henry, just Henry, Brenton Thwaites, a guy named Henry, a headstrong young sailor in the Royal Navy. At the helm of the Dying Gull, his pitiful, small, and shabby ship, Captain the Dying Gull is the name of his ship. That's awesome. Captain Jack seeks not only to reverse his recent spat of ill fortune, but to save his very life from the most formidable and malicious foe he has ever faced. Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Men Tell No Tales is currently playing in theaters. We will see it eventually and get a late-ass review to you. At some point, probably a year from now. But yeah, I mean, look, we love these movies. We love these films. I think it'd be cool to explore the Pirates universe and see what else is out.
Yeah.
You know, there in the third one, there was this weird... remember there was the weird French pirate crew? Do you remember that? And they're all like fancy, like, and they all like wore like makeup and powdered wigs. And they're all like, we are the French pirates. And they would punch, but they were really like femmy about it.
I bet they had good food.
God damn, I would love to follow those fuckers around and see how they go and pirate. We are French pirates. We are different. We do it differently.
I feel uncomfortable.
Where's your wife? Where's your wife? Bring me your wife. Hello. I want to take your wife to dinner. What? I don't want to bed her. I want to take her to dinner. It's like instead of like, you know, forcing himself on his wife, he gets her to fall in love with him. And it's like that's worse. He gets her to leave him instead of like just taking her and doing horrible things to her like sexually. He just makes her fall in love with him. That's what a French pirate does. That son of a bitch. They're classier.
I hate how every accent is like sexy except Americans.
No, what are you talking about? The American accent's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best accent.
Yes, this is sexy.
We are sexy Americans.
We are sexy Americans.
It's sexy American accent, sir.
I'm going to seduce you now.
Yes, I'm going to sexually seduce you with my American accent. Yeah, you're right. You know what? It's not. Wait, hold on. It's got to be like more cool, though. It's like, I'm going to seduce. No, that's like, that's when you speak properly, it doesn't work that way. You got to be smooth about it, man. Talk like Frank Sinatra. Works every time, I swear. Or Sammy Davis Jr. Hey. Oh, man, those are really old references. No one listening to the internet. No one listening to the internet listens to the Rat Pack.
Yeah, we shouldn't even know, though.
All right, so moving along. We're going to go from a lighter mood to a more somber mood. We're going to talk about DC now. We're going to talk about Justice League and Zack Snyder. I've been trying to kind of avoid this subject for a bit. We talked about it in one of our trailer reactions briefly, but unfortunately, we just got... I mean, it's a big thing in the nerd community. It's a big thing in DC, and people want to know what's going on, and well, let's give them our thoughts. But first, let's start with the actual article. The sad news of director Zack Snyder leaving Justice League after personal tragedy was heartbreaking. But he managed to find a seasoned pro to assist with completion of the film in Joss Whedon. Whedon is set to helm the first ever Batgirl film, which, yes, fuck yeah, Batgirl's happening for WB. I'm looking forward to Batgirl and Joss Whedon doing that. I seriously can't wait for Joss Whedon to do that movie. So he's gonna help with reshoots. Joss Whedon's going to help with reshoots and edits on Justice League. And producer Charles Roven gave a bit more insight into Whedon's involvement. While talking to Variety at the red carpet for Wonder Woman, while we still haven't heard any official statements from Whedon or Snyder or Whedon's overall involvement at this point, Roven indicates that Whedon has already part of the fold. Here's what he had to say. He, Whedon, was already working with us on some of the scenes for the additional photography that we're going to be doing shortly, and it was fortunate that Zack convinced him, and he agreed to step in and finish the movie. Help Zack finish his vision, and we're excited about that. Whedon already being involved in the Justice League reshoots shouldn't come as a big surprise, as he was the go-to architect in assisting various Marvel films during his tenure over there. By the way, the Avengers happened because of Joss Whedon.
Oh, yes.
Joss Whedon made the Avengers happen. Marvel DC did the best job they could assisting him, and I'm grateful for that. But without Joss Whedon, we wouldn't have what we have now. Mm. So I'm grateful for Joss Whedon. And Zack Snyder as well. I mean, Watchmen was a fantastic film. 300 was fantastic as well. Mm. Even Batman v Superman was elements of that were brilliant as well. Guy is a great filmmaker. It's just when you talk about this kind of stuff, it's hard not to talk about the actual. It's like the elephant in the room, you know.
Yeah.
Like we know what the tragedy is, but we don't want to like fucking throw salt on the wound. Well. Let me just finish up here by saying that the studio is saying they can rest easy that it's still Snyder's film, and they're sure Whedon will honor that as he navigates this ship to shore, although certainly with some of his own touches as well, which is to be expected. I'm a huge Whedon fan, and I think his experience with Marvel, especially for an ensemble superhero pick like the Avengers, will help immensely in getting Zack Snyder's vision across and making Justice League the best it can be possibly. I mean, like, some of the best films are collaborations. Empire Strikes Back was a collaborative film. George Lucas, Lawrence Kasdan, another guy. Sorry, they all worked on it. Like, and it was best served that way. Like movies when they're done in collaboration with, and most movies are done in collaboration with different departments as well. You've got the marketing department. You've got the director of photography. You've got the director. You've got the best boy. You've got, I don't even know what the best boy does. I think he just brings like apples to people, and then they got the app. That's what the apple crate's for. I don't know. Oh, the Apple box? I don't know. Anyway, no, I know what the terms are. I'm just fucking around. I'm trying to be humorous because I feel really sorry for Zack Snyder. That's fucking horrible, dude. What happened to him?
Yep.
And the hate that's going on the internet and the jokes and the dark humor that's going on about it, it's fucking needless. It's disgusting. And it really just, as a nerd, I'm like, fuck you, people. And anyone out there, seriously, like, you have the right to freedom of speech, but this man is suffering a tragedy that I hope to God you never have to feel in your life ever.
Yeah.
None of you. I hope I never, you, no one, none of us ever have to go through a tragedy like that, like director Zack Snyder has gone through.
Yeah.
I hope to God. There but through the grace of God go we. So it's really unfortunate. And so for anyone to make light of that in a way that is damaging towards him or his family or the work that he's done or is insensitive towards him is a fucking asshole, and they should rot in hell. Fuck them. We're talking about a human life. We're talking about a man's life. We're talking about people. What I am grateful for is that Joss Whedon is willing to step in. I mean, look, the guy did the Avengers and did Avengers 2.
Right.
And we only have two Avengers movies so far, and he did both of them, and now he's doing Justice League. Like, not doing it, but he's helping.
Yeah, he's helping.
He's helping midwife Justice League. Zack Snyder did, you know, he helped birth it, obviously, and gestate it, and now Whedon is midwifing and helping it and nursing it and making it strong, and you know, while Zack is going and recovering, and rightfully so. I mean, my God, if anyone ever needed to take time off, goddamn, Zack Snyder, take as much time as you need, man. That's horrible.
Yeah.
God, my heart goes out to the Snyder family and to everyone out there and the people involved, everyone who is heartbroken. It sucks. What a shitty thing. It really is. And, but I'm grateful that everyone's like coming together and working together on this. And we got Joss Whedon involved to help out. So talk about if you're going to have someone step in to help you with Justice League, get the guy from Avengers to come in. It's like, you know, the Star Trek guy coming in to help out with Star Wars. It's like, come on. Like, and, you know, in collaboration with Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon working together. That sounds great. I'm really excited about that. So that I'm looking forward to that collaboration because movies in collaboration are, I feel like, always a little bit better. Armando, I've spoken at length. I want to hear your thoughts. What do you think about all this?
Well, I don't think what, you know, like cracking jokes about somebody's like, you know, personal tragedy, like, how does that help anyone at all?
Yeah, it doesn't. You're right.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, is like as soon as people got word of it, because, you know, the tragedy, what happened in March, and so he kept pushing on for another 2 months trying to finish the film, and then after a while he just could, you know, it's like it was too much to deal with,
right?
And so respectfully he had to step down, and rightfully so, to deal with a very important thing. Well, family comes first. And oh yeah, I mean, a whole lot of sadness about that. This is the thing. We've been critical in the past about DC and Marvel and about their films. We've been critical about Zack Snyder. Let's be honest, about him as a director. We've even been critical about him. Mm-hmm. I know I have too. But at the end of the day, the guy is fucking talented. And he's doing what he's doing, and he's in the position he's in, and he's making the money that he's making because of what he's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
He is talented, and he is a great filmmaker. And he will survive. He will bounce back. He will be stronger for this. And he'll come out swinging, and he'll make even better films, and he's going to be an even more... But right now, he's just...
Yeah, he needs to take some time.
And, man, Zack Snyder...
He's a flesh and blood human being.
Yeah, take that time, man. And when you come back, we'll be waiting for you. And we'll be waiting for that next movie, you know? And I hope it is a fucking DC movie. I hope you do... I hope it's Justice League 2 or The Batman. I hope he directs The Batman, because he did great work with Batman in Batman v Superman. Like, really? I mean, he shot those action sequences when Batman took on that warehouse dude. Mm. Zack Snyder fucking killed it. Mm. He killed it with Batman. Honestly. You know, say what you will about the film overall, but he had the balls to tackle it. And I think, honestly, you know, we're not talking about Zack Snyder now. Let's talk about the studios. Maybe Warner Brothers was trying to be a little bit more... audience-minded, you know? They were trying to be a little bit more like, hey, we're thinking more about the general audience, and Zack Snyder was like, well, I want to kind of make my own thing.
Right.
And so there was a weird clash there, maybe. I think moving forward, things are going to be different now, and I think that it's going to be a much more progressive, open-minded situation. I hope so. Armando,
we can only hope.
I mean, yeah. But I guess, let's just get your final thoughts.
I mean, it's kind of overwhelming, like the news.
It is. It's a bit overwhelming, but at the same time, tragedy does happen, and it's Hollywood, and you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens out there all the time. And, tragedy. We can't escape it. It's a part of life. And a lot of people are in the nerd community, which we are. You know, we're a part of it. They're talking about it. So, it's overwhelming, isn't it? What's refreshing is seeing people come together over a tragedy. And help each other out. That's the good thing. I like seeing that, and I like seeing the support, and I like, you know, I feel like, you know, even though we had tragedy, I think good things, like one door closes, other doors open. I feel like that might happen here, even though, it was such a tragic door to close. I think, moving forward, things will be okay. It just will take time. And, you know, I wish the Snyder family all the best. And I can't wait till the next Zack Snyder film. I genuinely can't wait till the next Snyder film. So take your time, Zack Snyder. But basically, Justice League smashes into theaters on November 17th, 2017, a month before the Star Wars movie comes out from Disney and Lucasfilm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. We're going to get Justice League a month before. So... before Thanksgiving, you can get your Justice League on, and then before Christmas, you can get your Star Wars on. It's a good fucking time, man, to be alive. good time to be here, and we're grateful for it, for this life, and for you people. And we're grateful for these films, and we're glad that we have these movies to talk about, and that we have such talented people making such wonderful films. Thank you. Now, let's move along. Now, would you believe me if I made a claim so bold as to say that Ant-Man... is the strongest superhero in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Oh, is it because he totally defies the laws of physics?
What's that? You have your doubts? No, you were like, you were kind of agreeing with me. But anyway, what's that you say? You have your doubts? That's fair. However, what if Dr. Spyros Michaelis, which sounds like a comic book doctor, but he's a real quantum physicist and staff researcher at the California Institute of Technology. He went on to say that Ant-Man is the strongest superhero in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Back in August of 2014, Dr. Michalakis, that's totally like a Stan Lee created, I swear Stan Lee created this guy's name. He's a real guy. Dr. Michalakis was hired by Marvel Studios to consult on Ant-Man. What excited him most about the project was the character's ability to shrink himself down to a quantum level. In fact, he ruminated on the notion so much that he wrote an in-depth blog post about it in 2015, which stated the following. If someone could go to a place where the laws of physics as we know them were not yet formed, at a place where the arrow of time was broken, and the fabric of space was not yet woven, the powers of such a master of the quantum realm would only be considered by their ability to come back to the same or similar reality from which they departed. All the superheroes of Marvel and DC Comics combined would stand no chance against Ant-Man with a malfunctioning regulator. Damn, dude. That's from a fucking... that literally, a physicist. Wow. A physicist just stepped up. Someone with legitimate degrees said, you know, who is a nerd too, said, well, if they were all real, Ant-Man would be the most powerful one.
Well, I mean...
but his regulator has to be malfunctioning, though.
Yeah, well, also...
but even though if it was functioning, he'd still be the most powerful.
Also, he would have to know what to do with it, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, he would. I mean, you know, I mean, he's got Hank Pym, Dr. Hank Pym, to help him out, even though he's not a doctor himself. Paul Rudd. I mean, Ant-Man. Scott Lang is his name. Mm. I mean, Paul Rudd. You might as well call him Paul Rudd. Tony Stark is might as well Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Chris Pine. Don't even call him Thor. Don't even call him Iron Man. Just call him by their names. It's like when Hulk runs out, just be like, ah, it's Mark Ruffalo. Ruffalo. Recently, Dr. McKillicus participated in a phone call interview with Inverse.com where he proceeded to expound upon the size matters superhero and how ideas from the character's original film will ring out across the MCU, including directors Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck's Captain Marvel. Can't wait, we're getting the female Captain Marvel. Not the fucking another white guy saving the day. It's a white woman, but still, it's a lady, this time not a man, and it's going to be the female Captain Marvel, which is the best Captain Marvel. If you're going go with, yeah, like of all the Captain Marvels that have ever existed since the inception of the character back in, like, I believe the 40s or 50s, the best version of that character has been the female version of Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. because she is like, I mean, I'm just like, the character, it's hard to describe her. She's like... she has all of these cosmic abilities. She's almost like a celestial Omega level, you would, I guess, enhanced human. Mm-hmm. She has cosmic abilities, and she's able to see all of space and time at once.
Right.
But she still functions within our linear timeline. So she's fucking... she's awesome, like, basically. Like, right. She's, like, the most ultimate. And she's going to be in the Infinity Wars movies, and she's going to get a spinoff. And so that movie's coming up. So I can't wait for that version of Captain Marvel, and I'm glad they're going with that. So it just so happens that due to legal reasons, Marvel was unable to refer to the world in which Ant-Man shrinks himself down to as the Microverse. Then after consulting with Dr. McKillicus, he proposed that they call it the Quantum Realm. Nice. That's way better than the Microverse. Yeah. Quantum Realm? That's fucking dope. That's a nerd scientist being like, call it the Quantum Realm. That sounds cooler.
I call it the Teenyverse.
Yeah. I call it the reverse the polarity of the neutron flow. I'm not quite sure if they ever considered going quantum or if it was more like nano, Dr. McKillicus says. The idea often lost... to the public is that quantum physics and quantum theory is not even in space and time. Ah, interesting. As stated in the Inverse article, the first quantum theories were developed more than 100 years ago by the likes of Max Planck,
yep.
Albert Einstein, and Werner Heisenberg. But Dr. McKillicus says there's been a second quantum revolution, the influx of devices that rely on quantum mechanics, such as MRI imagery, and no doubt Ant-Man's gear... to shrink and grow could be the bomb to blast open the second quantum revolution. He goes on to say, Dr. McKillicus, so when I was looking to inject elements of modern physics into the script, I brought up this idea that when Ant-Man goes into the microverse and something malfunctions, he doesn't just go to just a smaller space like Fantastic Voyage. Dr. McKillicus explained, Ant-Man takes things a bit farther. This is a place where the nature of reality changes around you. So when you enter the quantum realm, it's different. It's a different set of laws that takes hold. In our world, the laws of physics are crystallizations of chaos. All superheroes, if they were real, would be limited by the laws of physics, including even Superman. Kryptonians may defy human science, but they're still working within our limitations, Dr. McKillicus argues. And he argues that Ant-Man does not. He goes on about Captain Marvel. But we Captain Marvel hasn't come out yet, and mm-hmm. he's already done research on Captain Marvel. I'm not going to spoil what he says about Captain Marvel. I want you all to go out, watch Captain Marvel, watch her kick some cosmic ass, and then go figure out why she's such a badass. This is like years ago when I told everyone that Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be badass, and I showed them a photo of Rocket Raccoon, like with machine guns. Everyone's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, what? It's a raccoon with machine guns. That's going to be badass. Everyone's like, fucking, you're a loser. And then it's like goes on to be like one of the highest grossing Marvel films ever. I'm like, see? Suck a dick, Rocket Raccoon, bitches. And then the second film comes out and blows the box office away, too. By the way, highly recommend Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yes, me too.
But I'm not going to give away anything about Captain Marvel. Go watch her and her movie when it comes out. Go watch her in the Infinity War. She's going to make an appearance there as well. The Quantum Realm.
Yes.
Wow. This is almost an Awesome Hypotheticals geek out scenario, Armando Aranda. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think? The Quantum Realm.
Quantum Realm?
Shrinking down. Name. You shrink down so much that reality literally it no longer matters. You pretty much are in this.
So what's changed?
Essentially, well, what's changed is that, he said everything around you has completely just disintegrated to its beginnings. Holy fuck, imagine you shrink down to the point that everything is just back at its basic beginning. Wow. Mm. Wow. Bizarre. The R&D that went into Ant-Man is insane.
He's going to have...
Can I just say that really quick? Like, the research and development into that movie and the production of that script? Mm-hmm. God damn, they got a real particle physicist to work on this shit? Marvel's... They got some fucking money, man. You get real doctors and scientists to come in and do this shit? And make sense of it, and it looks cool.
Right.
You're like, wow! Like, no wonder it was a good movie. I really enjoyed Ant-Man. I can't recommend it enough. Ant-Man was really well done, and the science. Ant-Man was fun, and the science in it was cool too. And the fact that they're saying that, and I even postulated back during we had a review for Ant-Man a while ago when it came out because I was gushing about it, and I said I think Ant-Man could probably be the most strongest. He could probably be the most undefeatable Marvel superhero. If you can shrink down to that size, but and your strength increases as you shrink down, and no one can stop you, you'd be like a bullet that could just go around and just kill everyone.
Right, right.
Your speed, your strength, you'd literally just jump and you'd land on someone. You'd be like a bullet jumping in the middle of their forehead and you'd just kill them.
Right, right.
Fucking cool as hell. Ant-Man can fuck anyone up. Like pretty much how he took out Falcon in Ant-Man, the first Ant-Man, when he took down Falcon, he could do that to Thanos. He could shrink down to that kind of level, to even the fucking Quantum Realm level, and go inside of Thanos and take him apart at the molecular level.
Right.
That's how powerful Ant-Man is. People don't realize it. They talk shit about him because his name's Ant-Man. He needs to be Particle Man or something. He needs to be Quantum Man. Change him to That's it. Ant-Man is now Quantum Man from now on. Done. Stan Lee would agree. I think it's great. You think everything's great, Stanley? Excelsior! All right. Good job. Everyone, that's Stanley, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give him it's another $10,000 for Stanley.
Man.
Oh, God. How cool would it be, though? I mean, he didn't say anything about coming back, though.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Didn't say, like, come back.
Is he going to have adventures in this quantum realm?
Look, if this guy goes off to the quantum realm and fucks up reality... There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. We warned you. If that happens, it's all because of Dr. Michalakis, and we need a real superhero to fight him. Dr. Michalakis sounds like a villain who wants to take the world apart, by particle. It'll take forever. You know what?
It's a lot of particles.
Yeah, he'll die before he'll take the world apart. He'll die before he can even get a chance to be defeated. Oh, of old age. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a really cool idea, and it only backs up my theory. So, yay. Thanks for backing me up, Dr. Michalakis, and don't take over the world. This is cool shit. I mean, I love reading up on the science of this stuff, and I can't recommend it enough to other people. Final thoughts on Ant-Man and his ability to be the most crazy superhero ever? Like, not crazy, that's Deadpool. The most, like, badass Marvel hero.
Well,
apparently,
I mean,
like, not badass.
As
but
I
just,
said at the beginning,
just
like,
super powered.
He just breaks physics. Like
anyone who like fucks with physics. That's it.
No, it's just like there's a lot of there's stuff in the movie that doesn't make sense. So like,
yeah, but this guy said it did.
Huh?
Remember?
I don't think he did say it made sense.
Well, he said it. Yeah, he did, kind of. He tried justifying it to a movie audience, but it was like, you can't justify it with science.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Currently.
Currently. Somebody with
They also thought the Higgs boson was a theory.
Somebody with the weight of a 200-pound man bearing down on an ant cannot ride on a flying ant.
No, he could not.
He would crush it.
But if the regulator...
sever the ant.
But he has a quantum regulator, so maybe...
Maybe, oh yeah.
Maybe the quantum regulator is like self-regulating.
The flux capacitor or the inertial dampener.
It just knows how to do shit.
Yeah.
it just scientific. That's what it used to be. It used to be magic. Now it's science.
No,
if
it's
you don't
not.
Have an answer, you just say science. Duh. Fucker. Duh, fucker. It's science. It's quantum science. Quantum computing. Duh. Ones and zeros. Buddhist monks. Everything is and isn't. Quantum realm is and is not. And if the quantum realm turns out to be real and it's because of Ant-Man, I want that to go on record in history that Ant-Man helped create the quantum realm and quantum realities and helped us access them because of that fucking film and because of Marvel. That just on record, that's cool as shit. But by the way, guys, Captain Marvel flies into theaters on March 8th, 2019. Ant-Man and the Wasp makes its big on-screens beginning on July 6th, 2018. So that'll be just before, the year before Captain Marvel comes out in 2019, March 8th. Good stuff. Looking forward to it. And cool shit. Go look this up. Again, this is Dr. Michalakis. And this is on his website. Just Google it. You'll find it. Next story. Now with Logan on Blu-ray, viewers can watch the sheer ferocity of the young Laura, a.k.a. X-23, the badass mutant, with the foot claws over and over until their bloodlust is quenched. The fact actress Daphne Keene was able to hold her own against the likes of Oscar-worthy Hugh Jackman is otherworldly, and because of that, fans are anxious to see more of her. The notion of that happening isn't far-fetched, and the studio could be ready to find her keys to her own flick. During an interview with IGN, Logan producer Hutch Parker... Fuck yeah. That's who I want. I want him to produce my film. Get Hutch Parker to produce our films. Hutch Parker here, goddammit. What do you want? I'm busy, goddammit. Hutch Parker. He went into how if we do see X-23 on screen again, it won't be as part of a larger superhero team, but in her own solo movie that will explore the aftermath of Logan more deeply. Cool. He goes on to say, yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. I'm loving Hutch Parker.
As he slides out from under the truck.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he's like
in
like,
his jumpsuit
a
full
dirty
of grease.
Rag, dirty rag in his hand. Throws it over his shoulder. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. Definitely. But in terms of the stuff we've been talking about, it's not sort of slipping her into the background of another movie. It's looking at that character, which is a great character, has a pretty interesting run with the comics, to find a story that we think she could carry or certainly be kind of majorly significant within. That's the only kind of thing that Jim, as a storyteller or filmmaker, that's the way his sort of process works and the way his mind works in terms of what we would aspire to, which isn't to say that the studio couldn't have a conversation about something else. But the one that we've been kind of discussing loosely and kicking around is more likely to be its own film, said Hutch Parker, America's greatest patriot, a man to be reckoned with, Hutch Parker. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, definitely. That was his quote. That was the beginning of the quote. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, definitely. I'm going to remember that forever. Hutch Parker, on your tombstone, Hutch Parker. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, definitely. You are the coolest. At the end of Logan, we could see Laura walking away from the gravesite of the now eternally sleeping Logan, a.k.a. Wolverine, until that claw pops out. I can't wait. Oh, I'm back, motherfucker, for one more run. And heading off into the unknown with her fellow mutant friends to live a life away from prying eyes. This led audiences to think that these young whippersnaps It doesn't even say snappers. It's supposed to be whippersnappers, but they say these young whippersnaps could make up a new team. But from the sound of it, that's not as exciting as an idea as giving Keen her own film to slice and dice fools in. I'm looking forward to that, if that's the case. Logan is out on Blu-ray now, so go get it, motherfuckers. Now, director James Mangold even said in the past he would love to see another film with Laura and how it's something he would for sure be involved in. So what do you think? You want to see X-23 film or not?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good that they use a kid actor, a good kid actor,
yeah,
when they can.
Yeah, a good kid actor.
Because there's so few
keyword
of them.
Keyword, good.
There's so few of them.
Yeah, Haley Joel Osment. Sorry. Sorry, that kid's having, that man, he's a man
Natalie
now.
Natalie Portman's not a kid anymore.
Yeah, they're all having, like, well, she's actually, like, yeah, she's super successful and doing great now. But Jake Lloyd... Oh boy. Anyway, but this chick, Keen chick, Keen chick, she's doing great. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she's gonna look. She was one of the best parts of that fucking movie, Logan. When she showed up, yeah. I was more scared of her than of Wolverine. Like, when she walked up, she didn't speak the entire, like, and when she spoke, it was in Hispanic. But like, still, like, you'd be like, she would not talk, and she would barely talk. And when she did, you'd be like, oh, shit. And you'd listen. And then every time she moved, I'd jump a little. Like, is she going to hit me? Like, what's she going to do? This is fucking, it's like.
Well, that's the thing.
I want to see that movie.
Yeah, that's what's scary. It's just like a mind that's not fully mature, but you have the capability to freaking kill.
Like at will? Yeah. And you have Wolverine powers?
Yep.
And you're even better than Wolverine? Holy shit. And you fought alongside Wolverine and he kind of taught you how to be a badass? That's like, and you got Wolverine DNA? That's your dad is Wolverine? Dude. X-23. That needs to happen. But as a solo film, what do you think of it as a solo film? I want to explore like a new mutant. But we got Dark Phoenix coming up soon. So it's like, what's going on with X-Men, dude? They're all over the place. We got the new X-Men series, Gifted. We got Legion. Gifted is taking place between shit.
Well, I mean, I won't be fatigued as long as it's good.
And then Legion's like after everything.
I haven't even seen all the Marvel movies, but just like I still want to. You know,
I want to see the X-23 movie.
I gotta get around to seeing all those movies.
I want to see all those movies, and I will eventually get to them, but and TV series as well for X-Men. But I really, you know what? I want to see an X-23 film. I do. I think you know, after a few years, like when she's older and she's like, you know, you could sort of like go into her backstory about how she grew up without a dad, and she was always this badass and didn't have to depend on anyone but herself. And, you know, she's always just this quiet sort of shows up, and she's like a gunslinger kind of just shows up in town and saves the day and then walks away. She could be like one of those, like a mutant on the run like Logan used to be. He'd show up, save the day, and have to run off.
Right.
It's like death follows her wherever she goes. She's X-23.
Right.
Bwah. Bwah. X. Bwah. 2. Bwah. 3. Bwah. X-23. Bwah. Do they do the bwahs anymore in the trailers, or do they stop
know.
That?
I think they played it out. Now it's doom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's.
I hear that sound effect.
It's the cut. It's the drop.
I hear that sound.
It's doom.
Yeah, I hear that sound effect in every.
It's the drop.
Damn trailer.
Instead like, of bwah, it's the drop.
Doom. Yeah, it's like that playing the reverse kind of.
Yeah, weird. So I'm down for that. And you can take, but I feel like with that character, you could explore new mutants. You'd have to have new mutants in that.
Yeah.
But this actually, speaking of new mutants, this fits into our next story. I said new mutants. Well, get this. As superhero movies come at a fast and furious rate, studios are going to start having to figure out ways to tell the stories of these spandex-clad heroes in ways that don't involve the same Earth-saving, villain-smashing plot devices. In the case of New Mutants, director Josh Boone, Fault in Our Stars, has a very unique approach in the mind for the newest team-up flick, and one that draws some inspiration from the King himself. While speaking with EW, Boone went on the record to reveal more about the tone of the comic book movie, saying that more than anything, it will feel like a horror movie involving young mutants discovering their powers when they're at their most dangerous. Now, X-23 could totally fit into this, dude. Why not put her in that and then give her a solo flick, you know? Let her develop with some more characters. Anyway, we are making a full-fledged horror movie set within the X-Men universe, they go on to say. There are no costumes. There are no supervillains. We're trying to do something very, very different. What? This creative spark can be attributed to Boone's love of Stephen King. Oh, I see what's going on. Whose stories, along with Marvel Comics, were the cornerstone of his childhood passions. He even became pen pals with Stephen King as a young lad. Boone and a friend slash collaborator, Nate Lee, even used their love of making their own comics as kids to get the gig for New Mutants. We made a comic book with what our vision of the series would be. We love that Fox wants to make all these different X-Men spinoffs as drastically different as they can. Huh, a horror movie angle. What do you think, Armando? X-Men meets horror. That's random as fuck.
Yeah.
It would work if you got X-23 in that motherfucker. She'd be slicing and dicing. That'd be your horror movie right there. They got to stop X-23. Yeah, she's a killer.
I don't know. When I think X-Men, I don't think horror, though.
I know. I'm just trying to justify what they're doing. It's like this guy, it sounds like what he's trying to do is a Stephen King X-Men movie where there's no villains in suits, but they're still doing X-Men shit. I don't know how you describe it. Like, what would you call it? It's horror meets superheroes? Super horror? Superhero horror? Weird. I mean, it could work, right? Could it? X-Men meets horror?
I mean, yeah, it could work, but it just doesn't.
I'm trying to see.
It doesn't,
how does that.
It doesn't feel like X-Men to me.
I mean, if you get X-23 in there, she could just save the day. If zombies showed up, she'd just slice and dice all the zombies and boom. And I would look. Actually, there you go. There's your movie. X-Men versus zombies.
So it would be just like a zombies.
Marvel did a zombies run. They did a Marvel Zombies. I don't know if you've ever heard of that series or not. But
I've heard of it.
Yeah, you've heard of it. Okay, so a lot of people have heard of this. It was called Marvel Zombies. And in Marvel Zombies, it was all the Marvel superheroes versus a zombie apocalypse. And they didn't win. Some of them did. They had to go to the other dimensions and the other worlds, but the zombies would follow them and eat the other worlds too. And so the superheroes would become zombies as well.
So these are smart zombies?
It's weird. It got, because it was really popular, so it got really weird.
I mean, the Marvel characters are really powerful, you know?
I know. But the zombies were...
I don't see them losing to, like...
No.
Unless they're, like, 28 days later fast zombies.
If they're...
And they had... Like, intelligence.
Well, what I mean is that it could work. I mean, look, dude, they're comic books. You can write anything to make it work. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Think about it. It's fiction. They're fucking... They're not real.
Yeah.
So the idea that... I just love it. I love this. I love the nerd arguments that people like that we get into about these things. They're so ridiculous. It's like, dude, superheroes would totally fuck up zombies. None of them are real. Superheroes aren't real. Zombies aren't real that we know of. And if they are, they're on bath salts in New Orleans or Florida, to be honest. But if you were to write that movie, you could write some shit to make sense. Like, let's say there's like, I don't know. There was a mutant that created... How about this? One of the worst X-Men is called Maggot, and he shoots out maggots out of... He's a rotting corpse that has living maggots inside of him, and he shoots them out, and he says, "Go, maggots!" And they go, and they eat the enemies from inside out, and they're like, "Oh!" And they die, and it's horrible, and then they go back inside of him.
Nice.
Now, he could be the villain, and he could be leading a horde of other zombies that are like him.
Right.
And these new mutants could take on Maggot. And that way, Maggot, one of the worst X-Men ever, could be a could be a badass. Finally. Like, Aquaman is now badass because Jason Momoa is playing him.
Right.
Now we could make Maggot badass. That's what I'm saying. You can figure. There's a way you could do it, you know, because there's another X-Men that's his name is Blackout, and literally all of the lights and all of the light and everything around, he absorbs it. So it's just even sunlight, he absorbs it. So wherever he is within his vicinity, he just absorbs all of the light and all of the energy, and it's black and you can't see anything. And but he can still see, and he just fucks everybody up in the dark. He's kind of like Daredevil in a weird way, except he makes everyone else blind and then beats the shit out of them. That's a fucked up superpower. You blind your enemies and then beat the shit out of them. That's cruel.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
Beating up on blind people?
Beating up blind people? Wow, what a dick move, Blackout. I make them blind and kill them. Whoa. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, that's horrifying. That's horrifying. Those mutants would make great villains in New Mutants, or even great heroes, to an extent. So I think there's potentiality for it to work. But you're right. It's like not everyone wants to have peanut butter on everything. Mm. Like, yep. You don't have to have superheroes in horror movies, you know what I mean? Like, yep. Peanut butter doesn't have to go on everything. Like, it's like, yeah, peanut butter can go on anything. No, it can't. I'm trying to think of anything that peanut butter wouldn't taste good on, but I'm having a hard time now. A cucumber? No, that tastes pretty good too.
On a steak?
Nah, that's delicious. Think about it.
PB&J steak.
Oh. Mm. Oh my God, that sounded really good for a second. If it was marinated in peanut butter... oh wow, actually we're coming up with some good cooking ideas here. Wait, let's try it. We got to think of something that it's like, that's what the studio executives are doing. They're like, what can we not put superheroes in? What can we not put peanut butter on that will make it delicious? What can we not put superheroes in that will make it awesome? And it's like, fuck, there's nothing. I can't think of anything that, wait, blood pudding? No, it might make it taste better. Oh God, there's got to be something. Got it. Clams, peanut oysters, butter. Shrimp, seafood, peanut butter and seafood. No way. No way, brother. That ain't working. That's gross. That shit's gross. Do you really want fish smeared with peanut butter?
Yeah, I could see fish. Yeah, fish.
That's gross.
But shrimp might be good.
Well, that sounds like Thai food.
Like battered shrimp.
Yeah, that sounds like Thai food, though. That sounds like a curry. Like a peanut shrimp curry. Right. That sounds good. Fuck! God damn it! There's nothing that superheroes can't make better! Damn it! Ah, we're fucked, Armando. We can't find a... All right. Well, let's end this nerd update with bittersweet news. Now we kind of went from sad to happy to weird to sad. Now we're going to end on uplifting note. More uplifting. It's kind of sad, but let's get into it. Sitting down in a crowded theater to watch Star Wars The Last Jedi will be somewhat of a bittersweet experience, knowing that it will be the final time that the late Carrie Fisher will bring General Leia / Queen Leia to life. Vanity Fair has a great spread dealing with the upcoming Rian Johnson film, some of which we've covered already on the podcast, and while those interviewed obviously couldn't spill anything major, Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy said that the original plan for Star Wars Episode 9 would have seen Carrie Fisher taking on a bigger role, man. Mm-hmm. Princess Leia was going to have a bigger role in the 9th movie. Mm-hmm. Fuck. Kathleen Kennedy said that Carrie Fisher was having a blast filming Star Wars The Last Jedi, which is great news to hear. And the minute that principal photography wrapped up, she grabbed me and said, I'd better be in the forefront of 9. Because Harrison was front and center on 7, and Mark is front and center on 8. Good to know that one. Mm. Mark Hamill's going to be front and center for 8? Fuck yes, he better be. She thought 9 would be her movie, and it would have been. Said Kathleen Kennedy. Oh, it's tough to imagine what could have been, but I've got no doubt that Fisher's memory will be honored. The new generation of Star Wars actors all remember Carrie Fisher fondly, not merely because she was an amazing woman, but also because she took the franchise's new stars under her wing and taught them how to deal with the sudden fame. After the sight of John Boyega in Stormtrooper armor in The Force Awakens, first teaser trailer prompted an unpleasant backlash from certain hate groups, Carrie Fisher had a few colorful words of encouragement for the young actor. I remember, and forgive me, I'm going to drop the F-bomb, but that's just Carrie, she said. Ah, boo-hoo, who fucking cares? You just do you. Words like that give you strength. I bore witness in a million ways to her sharing her wisdom with Daisy, too. Daisy Ridley added that Carrie lived her life the way she wanted to. Never apologizing for anything, which is something I'm still learning. Embarrassed is the wrong word, but there were times through it all when I felt like I was shrinking, and she told me never to shrink away from it, that it should be enjoyed. Aw, beautiful words of encouragement from the late, great Carrie Fisher. Guys, Star Wars Episode 9 is set for a May 24th, 2019 release. But we'll be getting Star Wars Episode 8 this December.
Right.
This year, coming up. What do you think, Armando? Princess Leia was going to have a like, front and center role in 9.
Well,
fuck!
That's, yeah, that's...
Clearly it's not happening.
That's really sad.
Damn. Good news is that she's going to have a bigger role in 8 than she did in 7, which is good. Mark Hamill will be front and center in 8, which is cool. I'm down for that. That was good info to get. But Carrie Fisher being such an awesome driving force in the films and in nerd culture and for women on in the feminist movement, especially in that time when she was making those movies... For her to be so outspoken and for her to play such an awesome, badass female lead, it really paved the way for Sigourney Weaver's Ripley, paved the way for Kill Bill.
Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman's Kill Bill, and any female action lead. Princess Leia. Princess Leia, man. It's always Princess Leia. Mm. You know, she was the first. She didn't need protection. She just needed to be broken out of that prison. Then she just ran around and did the right thing. She's like, fuck it, I'll do it myself. Give me that blaster. We're getting out of here. they were like, we got to protect you. And then she grabs the gun. She says, fuck you, I'll protect myself. She doesn't say that, but that should have been the line. God, it would have been awesome. She's like, fuck you, I'll protect myself, you fucking smuggling piece of shit. I love you. We're going to fall in love and I'm going to have your fucking baby and he's going to kill you later.
Let's fuck.
Let's fuck now.
The X-rated version.
Yeah, the real Star Wars was awesome. You guys never got to see it, but Armando and I, we went to the alternate reality where George Lucas was like, fuck it. He's like, oh, fuck it. I'm making it. Oh, God, George. Eh. As much of a bummer as it is to hear that she would have been but won't be, I'm glad to know that she would have been. And also, I'm glad to know that she had a larger role in 8. I'm just happy that Carrie Fisher was so like appreciated before she passed. Mm. And I'm glad that she got to do what she loved to do and rap on that film. You know, it's so fucking sad and disheartening to hear that she won't be moving forward. But man, we got so much awesome shit from her already. So, I mean, she had a great career, and this makes me wonder, how are they going to move forward? Armando, let's end this nerd update. What do you think would be an interesting way to move forward without General Leia?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if it's interesting, but, you know, it's just like... Probably just to have her pass away in the movie.
Well, that's
know?
What I was thinking. I mean, I think, whether it's interesting or not, I think... you could go the interesting route and say that she was on the base of somewhere that there was an attack and then boom, it blows up and that's what happened. Or she ended up going to another planet and she's an ambassador over in the other planet and you hear word from her, but she's just too busy and she can't get, and she's doing Senate stuff now and, you know, maybe something like that. Like she's just like in the background now, but she's still alive, but she's in the background. And then you find out about her death in the background and you're like, oh my God. She died, and then it'll be more sudden that way. It's like, or you could start off episode 9 by saying, you start off 7, Luke Skywalker is missing. Princess Leia has passed away, and the galaxy is in mourning. You could start it like that.
Right.
Literally address the fucking elephant in the room first off, like you did, Luke Skywalker is missing. Princess Leia is no more. She has passed. And the galaxy is mourning the loss of General Leia and blah, blah, blah. And then the opening crawl. You can do it right in the opening crawl. Just address it right in the opening crawl, just like you did with Luke. And then you could say in that opening crawl how she died, what happened in the skirmish. And it could even be due to Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren went out and killed her. He killed his dad and then he went and killed his mom. It could be something like that. You could have it. Right. I think that would be fitting. Since Kylo Ren killed Han Solo, if Carrie Fisher died, since she died in real life, well, fuck, why don't you just have Kylo Ren kill his mom, too? It'd be the ultimate circle for him, like, committing to the dark side. If that was the plan for his character, unless they were going to have him be redeemed. But how are you redeemed after you kill Han Solo, man? Come on, you can't redeem that motherfucker. He killed Han Solo, and it was his dad. He had the coolest dad in the galaxy. King Solo. He was married to a queen. King of the galaxy, Han Solo.
Well, yeah.
That's how I'm going to remember him.
That would be even worse. And you know what? If he killed Chewbacca.
Oh, fucking. Wow. You kill your dad, your mom, and your family dog too? You son of a bitch. He killed the dog too?
Right.
You gotta, that's it. We're killing this motherfucker. Luke's like, that's it. I've had it. Jumps in his X-Wing. So, fuck, you still got your X-Wing? Fuck yeah, I got my X-Wing and I got a dual lightsaber now. It's like, damn, you're not fucking around, Luke. No, not anymore. I went a whole movie with that son of a bitch killing three planets. I'm killing him. He killed my friend. He killed the galaxy. God damn it. I want Luke to lose his shit in this movie. I want him to go full, like, anyway, that's enough postulation about episode 8 and episode 9. Let's round
just, like,
it out.
Making I know, right? Movies ourselves.
Oh my God, we're just doing it ourselves. Just let us do it, Disney. God damn it, Disney. You know we'd do a great job. You know we would. Let us do the Boba Fett movie. Let us do the Boba Fett movie. We've got it. We know it. Armando, hit it.
Hit it?
Hit it. Tell them what our Boba Fett movie is.
All right. Wait, did we talk about this
yes,
before?
Yes, we did.
We did. Huh.
Remember he claws his way out of the
Sarlacc
pit. and then he goes and he gets a call like on his comm and he has another job and so literally he just picks up and carries on as if nothing happens. He just sees Jabba's wrecked shit in the background. Just
goes off on his jetpack.
And he's just like he's like, "All right. Looks like this job's done." And then he gets in the Slave One and flies off. He's like, "What a crock of shit that was, right?" I don't know if we're going to go with the Australian-voiced Boba Fett or if we're going to go with the British-voiced Boba Fett, but I like the Aussie-voiced Boba Fett. Blimey. No, wait, that's the English. Fuck. Crikey.
Crikey.
That's yeah.
Bobby.
Chim Chim Chiru is English. Crikey and Trippin' the Bobby is Australian. Yeah, why not? Yeah, and then he goes on and he goes to Corsican. How do you say it? Coruscant?
Croissant.
Croissant. He goes to Croissant. Coruscant. Croissant. The Emperor's city. The Empire's old city. And he goes into the crime scene, meets up with that would be our Boba Fett movie. It would just literally be him being a bounty hunter.
Yeah, Boba Fett bounty
in
hunter.
In the crime world, dealing with mob bosses, and it would be from Boba Fett's perspective. He's like, he's basically just a bounty hunter. That's it.
Right.
And you just follow him on his missions, and he meets up with people, and he's got to work with some guys. It's like, all right, Boba Fett, meet your new partner. What would be a lame-ass partner for Boba Fett? IG-88. It's a robot.
Yeah, that would be pretty lame, but yeah. I'm not sure that would be interesting.
No, it would be horrible. Be like, all right, Boba Fett, meet your new partner, IG-88. Hello, Boba Fett. Fuck you off, you fucking pew, 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 pew. And then it's like, I'll work alone. What's your name, Solo? I told you never to say that name ever again. Like, that could be his. That's his, what do you call me, chicken? You know, it's like, what, are you free Han Solo's going to show up? Don't you ever say that again. That would be awesome. He could be like a Jack Sparrow. Johnny Depp could play him. Yes. We've gone full circle, you guys, on this nerd update. We started off with pirates, and we're ending with pirates and smugglers and all kinds of space pirates and sea pirates and sea smugglers and space smugglers. Johnny Depp is Boba Fett in the Mike and Armando Team Awesome Inc. produced, directed, written... Star Wars, Boba Fett, a Star Wars story. What would you call the Boba Fett movie? Would it just be Boba Fett? Star Wars Boba Fett?
Yeah, that.
I think just Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
You wouldn't have to call it anything else. All the nerds would be like,
right?
Star Wars Boba Fett.
Yeah, why not?
It's good. It's so good.
Everybody knows what Boba Fett
is. If Star Wars literally just put the title Boba Fett. Chapter one, even.
Yeah.
Oh, they'd be like, yes, how many chapters? 9. Fuck. It's the bounty hunter version. Oh, yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this nerd update. Armando, around out of all these stories, what are you most excited about? We had a lot.
Besides Boba Fett?
Besides our own version of Boba Fett, which I want to happen. We also have New Mutants, which is going to be like... X-Men horror. So it's gonna be an X-Men horror movie. Then we've got X-23, probably gonna be a spinoff film, but I think that would fit in with the New Mutants film being a horror movie, because she kills the fuck out of people in a bloody gruesome way, and we were introduced to her in an R-rated film, so why not keep that going. Then we had the particle physicist who was going on to say that Ant-Man is the strongest superhero in Marvel, technically. And then we had, obviously, tragedies with Zack Snyder, his family, and that loss. We wish them all the best. And then, of course, Pirates of the Caribbean. Moving forward without Johnny Depp. It's not official that they're doing that, but if they did, why not find Orlando Bloom and get him to be in it more? And Keira Knightley, bring her back. Bring them all back, you know? Bring everyone back. Barbosa. Who else was in it?
It's been a while.
It's been a while since I saw the first Pirate of Caribbean. It's been a while. Hey, wait a minute. That's not Eddie Vedder. That's Scott Stapp. Look, man, I just need a place to crash. Get out of here, Scott Stapp. You can't sleep on the couch anymore. Oh, come on, man. I thought you had your arms wide open. Get out of here, Scott Stapp. Told you. God damn it. Why does he always show up and do... Did you invite him?
No.
I didn't invite Scott Stapp.
I...
Does he have a key?
Maybe he does.
What happened to my key? Motherfucking Scott Stapp! Oh, yeah, don't forget, guys. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Like, download, subscribe, and share with your friends. We have a YouTube channel, Simmer Mike. Again, Simmer Mike, all caps, no space, like I'm yelling at you. Simmer Mike! Website, yotina.podomatic.com. iTunes, type in Team Awesome Inc. You can like and subscribe there. That's going to do it. Peace out and keep it nerdy.
This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome Inc.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.